So, about your father, and again, we go back how he grew up in Minnesota. He went to the military academy. How did that come about? Why a military academy?
His father, C.P., had just remarried Ethel. I think that was really part of the influence as well, but I know that Shattuck had a great reputation academically. So both my dad's older brother, Bill, and my father were sent to Faribault, Minnesota, which is 60 miles south. My dad talked frequently about how painful these experiences were, about leaving home, and a lot of tears.
Again, the home was where?
Home was in Minneapolis, yeah. And he wanted to be at home, but he was very gifted both academically and athletically, and he achieved high honors in both areas, in football, basketball, ice hockey, and baseball, and then he won two academic awards at Shattuck. So it was a really good growth foundation for him.
Then he graduates and goes to the University of Minnesota.
That's correct. And he excelled again in both sports. What's of interest, I believe, is that Dad not only coached three national championship teams, but he played on three national championship football teams at the University of Minnesota between 1934 and 1936. He also academically was awarded the Big Ten Medal for the person who displayed the highest achievement in both athletics and academics.
He played for Bernie Bierman of the University of Minnesota.
He did.
Golden Gophers.
That's correct. And I think Bernie Bierman was his mentor, and he learned so much from him as a coach, such things as conditioning, just the basic fundamentals of discipline and practice, and how you really discipline the players in the football team. He had great respect for Coach Bierman.
In 1937, he led the College All-Stars in a pretty important game.
He did, and Sammy Baugh, the great TCU player, was the quarterback of that group, and they did defeat the professional team. It was the first time that had happened, but he enjoyed that experience playing in that game.
And they played the Green Bay Packers in Chicago in August of 1937.
Mm-hmm.
Then he also played hockey.
He did. He'd grown up playing hockey in Minneapolis. He loved it. He finally gravitated to being the goal guard, as he called it, the goalie today, and he kiddingly would say he didn't have the speed to play. I'm not sure that was true, because being goalie, of course, is very important. He started for the University of Minnesota hockey team for a couple of years, and that was a sport that he had a great interest in as well.
See, I grew up in North Dakota and Grand Forks and Minnesota. My relatives were there, so I understood the hockey thing, and the Minnesota Golden Gophers were hated by us in North Dakota.
You know.
But that was much later, from the 30s, but I am certain there was a rivalry that went way back
I'm sure.
to that as well. So, at this point, while he's playing hockey at the University of Minnesota, he meets someone special.
Yes, he met my mother. The University of Minnesota was playing Carleton College on their campus. A rumor had floated around the Minnesota hockey team that there was a beautiful Indian princess on campus. So, after the game, the team assembled in the sorority house where this Indian princess allegedly lived, and as my mom, who was the Indian princess, which she was not, no Indian blood, but she was obviously very attractive. And she was coming down the stairs for a date with another man. And she saw 10 or 12 of the Minnesota hockey players standing around just looking at her. Well, she was very embarrassed, obviously, but that was their first meeting. And then Dad called her to date her, and then she decided to transfer to the University of Minnesota her junior year.
If she looked like an Indian princess, what was her ethnic background?
Basically, I would say European. The French, English lineage. She had dark hair and high cheekbones, great features of a beautiful young lady.
And how long did that marriage last?
They were married 37 years. That was a very difficult part of all of our lives because they were considered the consummate couple. They literally lit up a room whenever they entered it. They had somewhat of a majestic stature. And both of them were very kind and outgoing people, in addition to having the appearance that was so attractive. So there was a genuine nature. When they divorced, I think that it was part of the fact that they had changed. Dad was continuing to travel quite a bit. By that time, he'd lost for the United States Senate. And he actually met a younger lady whose name was Donna O'Donohue, who had gone to the Michigan State University and was an assistant secretary of state for the state of Michigan. He, I think, was very impressed with her, with her intellectual capacity. And I think my mom and dad had just drawn gradually apart, but it was a very, very difficult adjustment for both of them and for my brother and me. It was just so unexpected. And it's one of those things, looking back, that I must say it's one of those few things I think I understand, but I'm not sure I understand.
How old were you when that happened?
I was probably around 50, or maybe the mid-40s.
So it had to come as a shock?
Yes, it was a shock.
And can you imagine the community who saw this couple constantly in the talk that went on about it?
Right, I think they
could not believe it.
No, there was great shock in the community as well. Very true.
But then he remarried, and what was her name?
Her name was Donna O'Donohue, and they were married approximately 17 years, and I think most of those years were really very solid, very positive years. I think that my dad really was satisfied with his life during those years. He was still very much engaged. He was the head of the U.S. Gymnast Federation when our men won the Olympic gold and our women won the silver, and he was engaged with the St. Louis Football Cardinals for a year and a half and representing still a number of the presidents of the United States.
You say 17 years. She was married to him until his death.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. But then to show his athletic prowess at the University of Minnesota, he also played golf.
He did. He was also a starter on the golf team.
And he was captain, I believe, of the golf team.
He was captain as well. That's true.
I don't know. Did you, as an athlete yourself, had you come to a point where, you know, he was so adept at various sports that I know I can't match him, or I'm trying to match him, or did you just not think about that?
Didn't think about that, but I can assure you that I did think about being matched or compared to his University of Oklahoma football players. Because growing up, when you're in grade school and then going through junior high and high school, there's a big difference between your physical ability and people that are in college. And so I remember talking to my dad about that, you know, would I ever gain that degree of athleticism? And he was always very encouraging and very supportive. He clearly, I think with both my brother and me, continued to reinforce the fact that we were playing quite well, and he was pleased of that, but there was never any pressure or any feeling that you had to do this to satisfy him or to gain his respect. It was much more the honest encouragement and the honest support. I've always felt very grateful for the fact that I did seem to be born with a degree of athletic talent. I think I'd also learned from my dad the price that you have to pay to be a competitive athlete. It was a process. I think through junior high and high school, we had great success, but we had to do it the right way. And I think his encouragement, support were extremely helpful.
To be coached by your high school coach and then come home to a family, yes, he wasn't trying to tell you things other than his coach, but you came home to an environment that continued off the field of athleticism.
Well, that's true. Really, we didn't talk too much about what was going on with the Oklahoma season, but because I was a quarterback, my dad would spend time with me, as he did with his starting quarterbacks, where he would try to visualize actual game situations. My dad's philosophy back then, and still today, I believe this, I'm pretty old-fashioned, was that there's an advantage for the quarterback to be calling the signals rather than having them called in from the sideline, because when you're in competition, you have a different feel of the game. So Dad felt that if he could replicate during the week certain game conditions, and he might say, if you're the starting quarterback, John, okay, we've got the ball, we're on our 28-yard line, it's first and 10, what are you going to call? You blurt out 28. He might say, okay, it's second and 7, and then it's third and 4. He would do that with me, and you'd get an understanding of what he wanted called, and I could go into more specificity with you, but this was an extremely helpful thing to me as a player.
Yeah. Would he sit at a table and have a gridiron on a piece of paper?
Yeah, a piece of 8x11 paper where he would be taking notes, but it would be, as I just recollected it, that he would be just calling out what the game situation was, and then he'd be taking notes.
Wow. That's great support as you came home.
Well, it really is. Very helpful.